Well, we're joined today, as we are every Wednesday, by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who is Associate Professor for Psychology at State University of New York at Albany. Dr. Earlywine, thanks for joining us again today.
Oh, it's a pleasure being on the show.
Well, we had all sorts of 420 celebrations that took place last weekend. Anything take place up there at the university?
Oh, in fact, there were all kinds of underground events as well as some more formal celebrations of 420. It was a real pleasure to see what a big weekend it was here.
Yeah, as I was looking through them, there was, I guess the University of Colorado has the real big one where they have about 10,000 people show up for that one. And no arrests. I was reading, you know, a lot of these reports, and it seems to be that the police are fairly easygoing on the people celebrating 420.
I even saw quite a bit of television coverage covering that same idea, that essentially this is a time when folks know that nobody's really out there to do anything but make a simple statement. There's no risk for aggression or hostility or outrageous dealing of hard drugs or anything like that, that this was really an event that should become something that is a good sign for things to come.
Well, speaking of that, we were looking at this story that came out of the Chicago Tribune. There was it seemed in a lot of newspapers, and like you said, on television, I saw this on MSNBC, where they talked about 420 being a cultural touchstone and a new kind of stoner holiday. And the Tribune put out this thing called The 10 Things You Didn't Know About Pot. And as a typical top 10 list about things like, you know, what Billy Carter, the president's, Jimmy Carter's brother, once said about pot, or jazz musicians using pot and so on. But number two here I thought was quite interesting. You were speaking of aggression, and I'll just read this number two one. It says, marijuana is known for its mellowing effect, but it has fueled many warriors in history. The word assassin is believed to come from the hashish taken a millennium ago by Arab killers called the hashashin or hashish eaters, though some historians doubt they were under the influence while on their missions. Mexican bandit Pancho Villa's henchmen were pot smokers, and some believe Zulu fighters in South Africa were high on daga, a.k.a. marijuana, when they attacked the Boers in the Blood River in 1838. The Zulus lost 3,000 fighters. Talk about a buzzkill. any truth to any of that whatsoever?
as it turns out, there's a number of misunderstandings inherent in this one point, and I don't want to rib the Tribune too much because I really like that paper. Some of my college pals work for the Chicago Tribune, and I feel like they're usually quick to give the cannabis movement a very fair shake. But this one issue is one that's near and dear to my heart because I feel like it sends kind of a curious message to folks who don't understand our mission. Marijuana does not cause aggression. And we have literally tons of laboratory evidence to show this now. And there's some confusion about this etymology of assassin that has actually been pretty well cleared up since 1970. Don Casto, you know, when most of our listeners were probably fetuses, published a thing in British Journal of Addiction just walking through how Hassan was this guy in Eastern country at the time who had some very devoted followers who often committed murder in order to help him stay in political power. And some folks think that actually Hashashin is follower of Hassan, somebody who is one of this guy's devotees and who was willing to commit murder for that reason. Another group suggested that maybe they used cannabis to say, look, this is how wonderful things are going to be in heaven for you if you follow this guy. But nobody ever actually said this was something that was going to incite aggression. In fact, Taylor has some data from the mid-1980s where people came in and actually got high and then were provoked by the experimenters. The experimenters did things like take money away from them or take points away from them or do other irritating things, and they still were not as aggressive as the guys who smoked placebo. And Tom Denson, who's now in Australia, one of my students, and I have a paper coming out later this year showing that any link between marijuana use and aggression in people who are marijuana users, as soon as you take out the use of alcohol and hard drugs, that link disappears. And in fact, my lab has shown time and again that alcohol is probably the drug that is most likely to increase aggression of all the drugs known to humankind. So let's sort of keep that in mind when people start spreading these rumors about assassins.
Yeah, I'm glad that you bring all that up. I mean, so many of us know that just anecdotally. I can't think of a more mellow, peaceful, loving group of people than any group of stoners that I've ever been around. You know, the idea that they'd be aggressive just seems to fly in all the face of common sense.
Oh, my friend Jack Cole of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition has said time and again, if police get a call and hear there's a bunch of people drinking and they have to go visit, they're much more apprehensive than if they hear, well, you got to go look at this bunch of people who've all been smoking marijuana.
Yeah, that's what I've heard from law enforcement as well. Now, another story that I thought we ought to run by you, Dr. Earlywine, since you know so much about these medical studies. This one just came out of the University of California at Davis, and they're publishing this in the Journal of Pain. And apparently this has shown that they're getting significant relief of neuropathic pain from the use of THC. So this just confirms what we've learned in previous studies, correct?
It's beautiful to see this in a separate lab setting, though. So now nobody can say, oh, it's just this one lab that's shown THC has analgesic effects. And we've seen from studies earlier this year that the effects seem to really vary with dose. So folks who say, oh, I tried cannabis and it actually made my pain worse, probably either had not enough or too much and didn't have that correct window. But we now have literally really nice randomized clinical trials where THC and placebo have been compared and the pain reduction has been meaningful and significant. But especially for this neuropathic pain, which is a real hassle and very, very difficult to treat with some of our other standard pain meds. So the opiates don't seem to do particularly well with it. Our standard analgesics like aspirin or ibuprofen and things like that don't seem to do particularly well. So it's reassuring to see that THC can give these folks a chance. And I think it's easy for us, if we're not in pain, to underestimate how debilitating some of this stuff can be. The neuropathic pain is with you day and night, and that makes your sleep messed up, and then suddenly you're irritable the next day, and then, of course, with less sleep, you're more sensitive to your pain, and it's a really horrible downward spiral. But with THC as an opportunity to treat this, you can imagine somebody's quality of life really improves.
Well, yeah, we would hope so. And there's so many patients in the medical marijuana states that are making a benefit out of the use of cannabis for chronic pain. In just about every state, it's the number one reason why people are getting medical marijuana cards.
It's showing up time and again.
Now, there was one last thing I had noticed that had come across a couple of email exchanges, and this was a study, apparently a pretty new study here by Morgan, and this had to do with taking a look at the opposing actions of THC, which most people will know is the psychoactive component of marijuana, and then another component that doesn't get a lot of play, which is the cannabidiol. And I was wondering if you could just tell folks just a little bit about the differences and what they're finding.
This is an intriguing study, part of a whole series of investigations about cannabidiol. Cannabidiol seems to be the component of the plant that creates the more mellow aspects. It's been used successfully as a treatment for insomnia. It seems to have some anti-anxiety effects, and it seems to counteract some of the intense, trippy, almost hallucinatory effects of THC. And as you notice, the plant that grows in nature, there's often a really nice balance between cannabidiol and THC. But, you know, different folks, for different reasons, have bred different strains to have more of one or more of the other. Well, a lot of the folks who are concerned about THC creating these hallucinatory or psychotic-like effects actually would find that if cannabidiol were part of the plant as well, those things are extremely unlikely. This also supports some of the complaints I get from medical users of Marinol who say, you know, they take Marinol and it seems like it ought to work because it's got THC in it, but it's just completely debilitating. They say, I'm completely retarded, I can't follow a linear argument, and it's just insane, and then if I lower the dose, I don't get relief of my symptoms. In fact, part of the plant's beauty is it's got the cannabidiol in there with the THC. If the cannabidiol is combating some of the thought distortion that's associated with too much THC, then suddenly they can alleviate their symptoms and still function perfectly well and, you know, have a nice work-filled, fulfilling life.
Well, this is another, you know, aspect of prohibition that makes things so difficult is in a regulated and taxed market, we might have a situation where people would be experimenting more with the different balances of the cannabidiol to the THC to create different brands and different effects, I'd imagine.
Well, and in the UK, GW Pharmaceuticals has done just that, and they're finding the extracts that are primarily cannabidiol have very different effects from the ones that have THC and cannabidiol combined.
Well, it's exciting research, and we look forward to getting some more information out of that. We'll keep on top of that. And Dr. Earlywine, thanks again for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Russ.